interesting. Senate appropriators yesterday got back into town, and we saw the Energy Appropriations Bill and the Homeland Security Appropriations Bills move out of subcommittee. These is only the second and third of the 12 appropriations bills that the Senate has even attempted to deal with so far this year. And, you know, we're running up against that October 1st beginning of the next fiscal year. Today, the Senate Appropriations Full Committee will meet and deal with those two bills, as well as the Agricultural Appropriations Bill, which has FDA funding in it as well. Today will be very interesting. Around 3 o'clock, Daniel Inouye, the chairman of the Appropriations Committee, will release what's known in the parlance as 302Bs. That's the way that, you know, the top line budget number for discretionary spending is broken up in 12 pieces. And then we'll know pretty much how Democrats are seeing, you know, the deficit deal that was enacted in August impacting federal agencies in particular. The House is still, you know, we're using its 302B numbers that came out of that Paul Ryan budget, which had passed, which was, you know, much lower overall spending. And we probably won't see until Thursday, when they move their transportation bill, exactly how they want to reconfigure those numbers.
So now, those Thursday, 302 numbers, do they simply cover the top line for the entire department, or do they get down to the program level?
The 302B is for the whole bill. So you'll have multiple departments, you know, in Homeland Security, for example. You have FEMA, you have the Coast Guard, you know, you have DHS as a whole, all underneath that number. But it's up to the appropriators when they release their bill that you see exactly how each, you know, program is affected. We already have now the DHS and the energy bills, and we'll have the ag one later today. So it's starting to get fleshed out. But, you know, the big events of the week will really be when Hal Rogers releases his transportation bill on Thursday and, the labor, health and human services bill on Friday, because those are the ones that took some really big cuts in the Paul Ryan, view of things. And we'll see how they're, you know, adding money back in.
Now, the super committee is meeting tomorrow just for the purposes of setting its own rules. They won't even have a hearing till next week. So couldn't their work change all of the 302s, no matter whose they decide on?
It could, but I think most budget experts are thinking that you know, discretionary spending is not really going to be revisited. You know, the trigger, if they don't act at all, will, you know, the way it's set up is if the super committee doesn't come up with $1.2 trillion in deficit cuts by Thanksgiving, then in 2013, we'll see, you know, across the board cuts to non-defense and defense discretionary spending. So as an alternative, the super committee is expected to look at mandatory spending, things like farm subsidies, you know, food stamps, perhaps even some Medicaid and Medicare changes, although Democrats will resist that, and possibly also tax increases, although Republicans are going to resist that. So, yes, it's possible that we'll see the 302 numbers for 2012 change again, but I think most budget experts are thinking that you know, this was pretty much set in the first part of the deficit ceiling deal in August, and it's not going to change, actually.
We're speaking with Eric Wasson, a staff writer for The Hill newspaper, and talking about some of the other entitlements, specifically Medicare and Medicaid. Is there any thought on the Hill that those can be changed in a way to have immediate effect on the spending levels that they entail? Or is that something that's going to take 20, 30 years to implement, really?
Well, I think, yeah, the real cost curve goes up after the 10-year budget window, and the super committee's mission is just to find $1.2 trillion over 10 years, so their window ends in 2021. But I think there are perhaps some ways to get some savings. For example, there was this idea of chained CPI, changing the way that inflation is measured, and that could get some entitlement savings that way, but it was pretty much completely poo-pooed by the main seniors groups. So there are ways to do it. Medicare would be impacted if the super committee fails, although Medicaid and other you know, poverty programs are shielded under the terms of the deal. But the cuts to physicians and other providers for Medicare is limited to 2%. So there's some debate in town about how scary that is. I think the main hammer that everyone's afraid of is the cuts to defense, which would be, you know, massive $500 billion cuts over 10 years, which, you know, many people think may even be waived if it ever came to it, since they're so severe.
And what about FAA authorization? Now, that's coming up very quickly. It seems like we just got over that shutdown of part of FAA, but really that only lasted until, I think, next week. So what's the likelihood of some kind of permanent deal occurring there?
Right. There's a lot of jockeying going on, and my great colleague Keith Lang on our transportation blog is following it moment by moment. But it looks at this point, it's still unclear whether there'll be a clean extension or whether some of the issues, regarding some of the small airports and so forth will be resolved. So I think that's still pretty much up in the air at this point. Today we'll actually see some movement on another longstanding issue, which is the trade agenda. The House is going to, under suspension of rules, pass this trade preferences program called Generalized Scheduled Preferences, and that's supposed to be the vehicle for starting to move these stalled free trade agreements. So we'll see. It's going to be sent to the Senate. The Senate is expected to attach a trade adjustment assistance program, send it back, and if that passes the House, we'll probably see the President submit these Colombia, South Korea, and Panama free trade deals, which have been stalled since 2007. So that's something that could start moving today, actually.
Now, most federal managers are pretty much resigned to having a continuing resolution starting on October 1st, while the budget for 2012 is hammered out. So the question for them is, what baseline budget will be used for a continuing resolution? Will it be 2010? Will it be 2011, which didn't get started till whenever it was, 6 months late? What's the prospect?
Oh, that's a good point. I would tend to think it's 2011, but I've been asking senators and members about this, and the appropriators are trying to push the idea that they can get some of the bills done. Some of them are even trying to spin that they can get them all done, but I think that's highly unlikely. So they're kind of refusing to talk about the CR at this point, but obviously they're going to have to move to that with only a few weeks left. So I think that does remain a question, but I think probably 2011 would be the template that they're working off of.